I am Fawn.
And Matt. We're an interracial couple with two kids wanting to do something that highlights the power of friendship and what it means to be in the company of true friends. We're going to move our society away and out of the loneliness epidemic and into a friendlier, happier world. Welcome to Our Friendly World. Better, stronger, together. So when was the last World's Fair?
World's Fair? I mean, first of all, two questions. Why are you asking? But I guess, not question, but the last one, I mean, I'm only thinking about the World's Fair as in, like, wasn't there an old movie everyone was watching, especially after 9/11? What was it called?
There's a movie called State Fair, but that's a state fair. That's not a World's Fair.
But I know what you mean. That's the World's Fair is when... Why are you asking? And what is it exactly?
Well, okay, so a couple weeks ago, I saw at one point in time, believe it or not, Detroit hosted, I believe, hosted a World's Fair. And because it was hosted in Detroit, it was about cars primarily, because welcome to the U.S. auto industry. And this was back in, I think, in the 60s. But what a World's Fair wants to do is the World's Fair wants to show you the world of tomorrow. And so it's this huge kind of bastion of hope as they show you how wonderful life will be in a General Motors car, but how wonderful life will be.
So is this when they would show like spaceships and like...
Like the Jetson cars, the flying cars and stuff? Yeah.
Or like the modern kitchen.
Exactly, the modern kitchen.
It's so 1950s. So when you said that, I just thought of 1950s.
Take a breath. What did you just say?
1950s.
It's so 1950s. Is it not relevant now?
Well, my other question is, before I answer that question, is when was the first one?
The first? Yeah. Oh my goodness, it was probably turn of the century, if not earlier than that.
Huh. So back then is when they would show spaceships and stuff like
that? No. We're talking more...
Like, what did they show in the first one?
This is how you can get a clean, consistent heat in your fireplace. I don't know. And you're right. It might be that World's Fair really only had any popularity in the post-war era.
First of all, where was it? Is it like the Olympics? Did they decide, we're going to have it here in this city?
I think different cities were allowed to host.
And only in the United States?
No, there have been World's Fairs all over the place.
So where was the first one?
I don't know.
We needed to do our research.
I just ask you a question.
All right. Well, when you ask me stuff, I figure you know everything. So you do the same thing to me, by the way. I tell you something, and then you ask me a million questions, and then you get mad at me for not knowing.
Well, we could go off on a huge tangent, and I could tell you that...
All right.
The New York World's Fair was actually hosted in, like, 1937 at a very challenging time.
Was it?
Yes.
For real?
And there was a bunch of people, and there was a few, probably not a bunch, sadly, but there was a bunch of European Jews who went to that World's Fair. Hitler took over stuff and never went back to their countries again. They were saved because they took a trip to the World's Fair. But that's beside the point.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. So it's a weird thing. But the reason why I ask is that... What can I say? I've been reading a lot of really kind of negative things lately. And we're talking newspaper, and then we can even talk books, but even just newspaper. You know, I primarily read science fiction, for instance. And sci-fi book sales are down 12% of what they used to be.
We talked about this in the car, right?
Right.
You asked me, or I just commented on it, and I said that people may not be so into science fiction anymore because science fiction has turned scary. People are tired of being scared, maybe, or don't want to be.
And that is a part of it. I can talk intellectually.
Or maybe we're already living in that doom. It's all doom. Like, if you look at anything science fiction, even Star Trek, there's no life. Everything is dark. You're out in dark space and there are no trees and sunflowers and petunias. it's all dark and there's no plant life, not even real food. Who wants to live in that? It's depressing. It is. That's why I never liked it, because aesthetically, just looking at that show, I'm like, ugh, it's so ugly. So much orange and black, like Halloween. You know, there's no sunlight. Goodness. Unless they go to another planet, even there, the sun, the colors are off. I'm like, ugh, I can't even look at that. Anyway, I digress.
Well, even talking about Star Trek proposes a world where money is kind of eliminated. The material possessions as status symbols has been eliminated, which is kind of a good thing.
So what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
So what does that have to do with the World's Fair? Well, where's the hope? Who's providing hope for us nowadays?
So you were saying the state fairs provided people with hope?
Yes, they did. They provided a vision of what the future could be. Who is really doing that in a positive way?
You know what?
Because we're hearing that our environment is on fire and we're losing our coral reefs, and there's a big mass of plastic that's circulating through the Pacific Ocean that's the size of like Mexico or something. I mean,
we're doomed.
Ice caps are melting. You know, I have to wonder, are we being guided? Are we being, is there some kind of a force out there which is causing us to focus on the negative? Because if you're in survival mode, which we've talked about a number of times, you're more likely to buy random stuff.
So you're saying, is there on purpose a force that is keeping us in fear mode and unhopeful mode? What's the word for unhopeful?
Despair.
A sense of despair. And that's why we started this thing. That was my initial idea, was that there's something that is keeping us from having proper relationships, friendships, families. The bond isn't there anymore. And that's good for someone who's trying to keep people down. If you want to control a lot, keep the population feeling depressed. They'll want to buy stuff and they'll tend to just listen to whatever you say because they're desperate.
And they're focused in a scarcity mindset.
And they're alone. So when you're alone, your thoughts can take over. And if you can control someone's thoughts, because all the messages out there are so crazy negative and scary. I mean, just the other day, okay, one of my favorite sounds was to listen to the morning doves cooing in the morning when the sun comes up. Have you guys noticed when the sun just barely starts coming out, all the birds start going nuts? They're singing, they're talking back and forth, yelling at each other.
It feels like each one has to top the one before.
I mean, I'm like, what is going on? What are they talking about? Like, wow, it's amazing. And my other favorite sound is a dove cooing. And you usually only hear it in the morning, early, early morning. I used to love that sound until, I don't know, a few weeks ago, I was watching Jimmy Kimmel. It's a TV show late at night. It's a late night show. And he was talking about how his son, they were taking his son for his, I don't know, was it second round of heart surgery, open heart surgery? A little boy, right? So scary. And what he was saying was his wife saw a dove, a mourning dove, outside their son's bedroom. And she thought it was a bad omen, because if you look it up, it means mourning a death. Right. And she didn't say anything. She waited until after the surgery. The surgery, thank God, went okay, went great. And when they came home, there was a hawk or some bird of prey that was in their house. Like, dang. It was flapping all over the place. His wife was filming it, right? Like, mm-hmm. He was trying to get it out with the pots and pans and everything. And you could hear her say, oh my God, there's a dead bird on the floor. And I guess this bird of prey had killed this bird and it was on the floor. And Jimmy's trying to get this bird out of there, the one that's flying around, the bird of prey. I think it was a hawk. I don't know what it was. Like a bird like that, right? And his son is there going, hey, what's going on? He's like, go upstairs right now.
Oh dear.
Kind of like how you do with a big...
When there's a big spider in the house.
Oh my God, the big...
A plate, dinner plate size spider. But let's not talk about that right now.
All right. Well, so they finally got it out. And what they figured out was that that hawk or whatever it was killed the mourning dove or whatever that was the omen of...
Badness.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's an omen of badness? So now I'm afraid of these doves. And every time I go to the garage, these two doves are there. I'm like, get the hell out of here. I'm scared of you now. Like, I used to love it and I felt so much peace. Now I'm scared. It's like, that's just one example, you guys, of, yeah, I see fear and doom everywhere. I don't know what to do anymore.
And I think evolutionarily speaking, we focus on the things that are going to eat us. So we focus on fearful things, and that's the way our brains are wired. If you're afraid of it, you're paying attention to it. So you need to get the safest car for your family, and you need to know what to do when you're involved in an accident, and you do, and that's very fair, but I don't need to be constantly bombarded by these things.
And a certain generation, I mean, you know, who we talk to, who we do out of obligation, all we get from them is, you're getting old, you're going to die like I am, you're going to get this disease like me. It's constant fear and it's constant disease and death, and you can't do your dream, you can't live where you want. So it's just incredibly negative. And you're right. So is there a state fair? Where's the next one? When was the last one? World's Fair, sorry. I'm still thinking about that movie.
Yeah, I know.
Probably because that movie came up after 9/11. And in this country, it was the one movie that was being played a lot on TV to get people to feel like everything's okay. It was one of those musicals from whatever. Was it made in the 1950s?
Something like, yes.
But it was...
To Rodgers and Hammerstein.
You know, typical, but... like old Americana kind of cultural thing. Yeah, I mean... What are we going to do? So when was the last one? We don't know.
Last one was in 2015 in Milan, Italy.
So not even in the United States.
2015, too.
I wonder what they showed. Yeah, now it's like AI. Everybody's afraid of AI.
What? Everybody is taking these things and showing why you should be afraid of them. And yes, indeed, I won't argue, you know, at some point in time, if you decide to give the robot the ability to figure out whether or not it should pull the trigger on a machine gun, it's probably going to make a bad choice at some point. But if you take AI and you use it as an extension of your own creative self or your own artistic self or your own technical self, you know, I took... our AI, and I just needed to alphabetize a list of things. And I said, alphabetize this. And he said, sure, great, here you go. Here's the alphabetized list. Boom, simple.
So nice.
You know, and I ask the AI to create pictures for me because at work, we have teams and we have teams meetings and I'm on video and I like having different pictures all the time. And so I'll ask it to generate me a picture of dot, dot, dot. So I've gotten some really interesting images, and nothing I would say, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever, but it's a stupid Zoom background.
Okay, so AI could be good or bad. It's been here all along, honestly, hasn't it? I mean, we've been talking into our phones for how long now? I mean, our kids don't know anything different than talking to your phone and getting information.
Yeah,
and having the phone talk back to you and do stuff for you.
I don't know how they could navigate without a phone.
I could never navigate, so I don't care. Like, I still don't, you know.
Right.
I don't know. But going back to the friendship thing, is that that's what I've been saying all along. That's why I wanted to do this whole thing, was I feel like there is something that is holding us down as a society. And it doesn't want us to be friends. It doesn't want us to come together because we are so powerful individually and then so much more powerful when we come together. When we have community, we can say, you can do it, or let me help you. Oh, you don't have a place to stay. our home is our is your home, you know, like it's we it it's that village that we've always heard about that from our perspective never existed.
Right.
We just heard about it. But that's what we're here for. This is what started this whole friendship movement that we began years ago. And this is the reason we turned it into the podcast, just to talk about it. I was tired of going to little tiny symposiums with 10, 15 people and explaining the same thing over and over again. Thank goodness for the podcast. Now we're like talking to the world about it. And people who are like-minded are like, yeah, right on. We're on the same page. So what do we do? How can we be hopeful? Because, yeah, like you say, I used to listen to the news like crazy. I would be glued to it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I stopped and I feel so much better. And I've been way more productive since I stopped looking at...
More productive. Less time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say...
Less time feeding the algorithm, as they say now.
Right. But what I've noticed is, okay, fine. I weaned myself off of the news 24/7,
mm-hmm.
but I've noticed our kids have been not on the TV, but they're now stuck on it through whatever it is that they're looking at.
A little bit, yeah.
A lot of bit. And I think the majority of their problems is because somehow the social media has totally taken over their brains, their psyches, and it's affected everything. The amount of trouble that I've had to get in the middle of, you know, like to protect our kids, it has been nuts the last few years. It's very stressful. You guys were very, very quick to say, hey, you are watching the news way too much. The kids would say that too.
Right.
But now if I say to the kids, hey, you've been on this thing for too long, it's affecting you. Then I get total pushback. Like, no, it's not. I need it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure that's probably what I said to you guys. Like,
yes.
I need to hear what's going on.
Right.
So I know what to do. And really, no, you don't.
There are things you do need to know, but the vast majority of stuff that gets covered as news is not.
So what do we do? How can we be more hopeful? Where can we take this? We didn't have a plan for this.
This
we were
is
just
the
like,
big. This is the big problem. I think the first step is to see that there's a problem. Boom. Which sounds terrible. The second thing to really ponder is and pay attention to are things like, in point of fact, there is a big research lab in the Florida Keys where they are regrowing, where they are growing, figuring out how to grow coral reefs.
Successfully, they're doing it?
Successfully.
They are?
They are.
Yay.
They're figuring out how to do it, and they're going to be implanting them back into the seafloor and et cetera.
That's amazing.
And it's like, how come we're not all talking about it? Well, that's not really news. Is it? Isn't it?
What's that thing they say on Star Wars? You see no droids here. What is that line? What's that? What does he say? You know what I'm
talking
about.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids you're looking for. It's like that, you know, like when you focus on the truth, there are voices that say no, 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 and try to distract your attention.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing. Do we sound totally conspiracy theorist today?
Well, honestly, it's follow the money time, right? I mean.
What do you mean?
If we feel a scarcity, that means we have to fill it with something. We fill it with food. We fill it with possessions. We fill it with drugs. We have to fill it with something.
I've noticed I go shopping now on Amazon. Mm-hmm. Every time I'm stressed out, and I was thinking about it last week when I heard actually a voice artist talking about it. Like, she's like, when I'm having trouble with my husband, I found myself buying stuff. Don't look like that. I'm not having trouble
you
with
you. Never
that.
Have problems with me,
stop
so
it.
I don't understand.
Stop it. Stop it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when I do get stressed out, I'm like, oh, let me buy more rice or let's get a new outfit.
Right.
I don't know. Why? How does that come into play?
Like our brains are these wonderful, complicated, very stupid things that have been programmed over generations to feel certain ways that don't necessarily apply anymore. That's the big part. It's like we need to reboot our poor little heads, because a farmer would worry there was not enough rain for his crops and trying to figure out what they
and
possibly
isn't that,
could do about
that's
it.
That's what we're being told every day, that things are so bad. I mean, if you look, if you listen, there's so many video podcasts out there and they're all talking about, oh, the disaster is coming, and then they bring on the psychics, right? And they're like, yeah, there's going to be famine. You can't grow food anymore. It's coming up in places that you normally don't suspect is the insidious part of it, about it is you're thinking, oh, I trust these people. They're good people. They're one of us. And yet these messages creep in there of fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Wow.
Right?
See, I first heard FUD, which is the acronym of that. I heard that like 15 years ago.
I remember you telling me what
and
FUD is.
It's gotten now
into... It was more than 15 years ago.
It is more than 15. But that and the algorithm that we're all feeding now, these have become more common things, which again, if we want to circle back to science fiction, we're living in science fiction is how people feel about it.
So because we're living it, people don't want to read science fiction anymore because we're living it, right?
They certainly they don't want to read escape. Any dystopian sci-fi, but yeah.
Is there any happy sci-fi?
There absolutely is happy sci-fi. But
really?
Unfortunately, the crux of a novel, there are two basic plots in a novel. I take a trip or... oh my God,
a stranger comes to town.
A stranger moves to town. Those are the two plots. That's it. But unfortunately, in order to have a novel, typically you have to have conflict of some kind, somewhere.
I'm sorry. One of my favorite movies, Legally Blonde.
There's
not much of a conflict. Yeah, but it's not the end of the world. It's not
Hallmark conflict. Yes.
Don't bring up the Hallmark, please. I'm tired of everyone equating everything to Hallmark. But like, you can look at a wonderful movie that's uplifting, and the conflict does not have to be those zombies coming after you, eating your flesh. You know?
Right. Exactly, which is why we don't watch any horror here in the house,
because
it's too much.
I can't do it. I've never been able to do it.
I'm just frazzled enough that no.
So now you're becoming one of me.
Slowly but surely.
All you would look at was Akira Kurosawa, these slasher...
There is nothing wrong with Seven Samurai.
Look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it is not happy. You don't feel like skipping down the road and feeling uplifted about things when you watch Akira Kurosawa movies. It's frightening. It's depressing. I'm sorry. It's cinematically beautiful.
But
no thanks. Not fawn friendly.
And there you go. And again, that's why people aren't reading sci-fi. And honestly, I think because we're getting so bombarded with it, I think at some point people are going to start to want to stop watching the movies too.
You know, it's interesting.
But
that,
then what do we do?
Well, we go back to happy movies or movies that can help us. I find it very interesting that a lot of parents and a lot of kids, like teenagers, were so excited about Inside Out 2, where the kid is older and going through hormonal stuff, because we all need an explanation. There's a woman, a homeopath from Australia that I listen to, and I'm sorry, I'm totally blanking out on her name right now, but she explains health in such a beautiful and easy way. She has remedies that are from the earth that are generations and generations old. You know, like our doctor is 38th generation acupuncturist, 38th generation, like from father to son all the way to now. And
right.
I feel so much better having medicine from them. I had to run away screaming from all these doctors that I've had to take our kids to, that I've had to take us to. You know, I went crying back to our original doctors.
Well,
and thank goodness for their compassion and their wisdom. But anyway, back to this woman from Australia. She was, there's an episode, a few episodes she does. She's all over YouTube. She's Australian. She's a homeopath. Oh, what is her name? But she broke down what hormones are and exactly how they work and how they're off balance right now and why. And here's what you do about it. And it's simple. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we need that. And I think that's why so many people are attracted to a movie like, what did I say the movie
Inside
was?
Out 2.
Inside Out 2. Because it's talking about that stuff. Or at least acknowledging, hey, there's something going on with me. Putting some faces to it so we understand it. And know that we're not the only ones. We're not the only ones who feel lonely. We're not the only ones who feel crazy, angry, whatever. All these things, sad, hopeless sometimes. And that's where community comes in. It can start from a movie, right? It can start with a meetup like we were talking with Rachel last week about how did you create your worldwide network community village? You know, she's like, huh.
A pub in Twickenham.
Right. A meetup when she was pregnant. Right?
Right.
Simple as that. And the thing is that the simple things elude us, because when we're in the thick of things, just getting up to walk sometimes feels like too much. You feel so heavy and so burdened that you don't even have the energy. But really, it's just a simple step. It's a tiny baby step, and you will feel so much better, so much more hopeful. Any steps you can think of? And I totally cut you off. What were you going to say? Now you don't remember, huh?
Zing.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. So we were talking about how we can get away from the doom and the gloom and feeling pressed down, like the thumb is on us, right? There's no hope.
I think part of it is doing somewhat of a detox from, yeah, all the negative and all just the advertising that gets thrown at us.
Remember when the babies would cry? And we're like, oh my God, she's crying. What are we going to do? Won't stop crying. And you would always say, let me take the baby. And then you would have a different vantage point. You would go to another room, a change in temperature, everything, like a shift from where you are.
Right.
So somewhere with a different temperature, somewhere with a different vantage point.
Well, we have, in our bathroom, we have a... These are different things you can do, and one at when you're feeling stressed, when you need to recharge. And one of them is go into nature, for goodness sake.
Right.
So, yes, a change of scenery, get outside, go into nature.
But what I was going to say is wherever we are standing, feeling the way we are, we need to step away from that. I think that's why I have us move so many times.
Maybe.
I'm like, we got to get out of here.
It certainly changes our perspective when we have no idea where we're going. What we're doing, it's like, oh, where's a grocery store? A grocery store. I mean, I'm still discovering different places here.
Meanwhile, I'm like, it's time to move.
I don't even have a favorite bar yet.
Well, hurry up and find it, because I'm feeling the itchy feet again.
I know. I know.
It's time to move once again. What is wrong with me? Is this what all immigrants feel?
No.
Am I the only one?
No. There is no you're the only one for anything. And that's part of, I think, the collective experience that we need to think about. If you're feeling any kind of way, odds are someone else is too. And that's why every Sunday I go to postsecret.com, because once in a while I see one of my secrets written there. Every once in a while. And that reminds me that it's not just me. I'm not the only one who feels that way. And that makes me feel hopeful.
You feel hopeful that you're not the only one
who feels a certain way.
Why does that make you feel hopeful?
Because I know I'm not alone. And we need to have tribes. We need to understand that there are other people who are going through stuff. And it's especially nice when you hear somebody say something like, really, like, 3 years ago I was feeling this way and today I feel great. You know, when I got fired, and that week on Post Secret, somebody said, I got fired and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. Thank you. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, it helped me refocus. It helped me channel. I felt a connection. And that's what I want. I don't want to be connected to somebody ridiculous, doing a ridiculous TikTok video. I want to be connected to someone who gets me. Not somebody I think is funny or pithy or cute.
Mm-hmm. Well, we get you. I hope you get us. Thanks for listening. And if you're listening, you get us. Thank you. All right. Well, please reach out to us. Go to our website, unfriendlywhatpodcast.com. And we're here. And we'll talk to you in a few days.
Be well.
And if you want to talk to us before then, reach out to us. Email us.
There you go.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Oh, have a beautiful...
I said that already.
Have a beautiful everything.